Chapter 8, verse 5 of the Bhagavad Gita.
Anyway, so today we are continuing the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Here, Arjuna, the student, asks the teacher, what is the nature of the Lord and what are his qualities? As the Lord, as we know, is the teacher and the student is Arjuna. And the Lord says, I am. These are the qualities that represent him. That is the Lord. And he says, I am the imperishable Brahma. I am the imperishable Lord that is everywhere, that is pervading in space, air, everywhere, within and without you. And I am the self. I am the consciousness within each human being. And then he says, the creative force by which we create new things and we evolve and progress, that also comes from the Lord. And then he says, all the elements, the entire universe that you see is created by me, out of me myself. I myself have become this world of elements. I am the Lord of the senses in you, the Lord that can see, hear, smell, taste, touch, can whatever. And I am the Lord of all sacrifices, all prayers, everything is offered to me. So that we had studied in the last week. Now today, the last question that the student asks, how do I remember you at the time of death? How does a person who is self-controlled, living a good life, how can he or she remember the Lord at the time of death? Because they say that all the scriptures say that if you remember the Lord at the time of death, you reach him, you become one with him. And he says, how is that possible? Because when at the time of death, you are sick in the hospital, or you are hurt, or you are, and at that time, you know, you're in pain, and how can I remember you? How can I remember the Lord? So that is the question, and we will try to answer that. And what happens to the person who remembers you? So that is the question. So we'll do chapter 8, verse number 5.
Antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram yah prayati samadbhavam yati nastyatra samshayah.
So at the end of life, at the time of death, Mam eva, the Lord says, me alone, smaran, remembering me alone, the Lord, muktva kalevaram. Muktva means liberated. Kalevaram means the body. So one who gets liberated from the body or who leaves the body at the time of death, at the ultimate last time, you know, it is at the time of death. What happens, we'll talk about it, but the individuality who leaves the body, remembering me, the Lord says, who leaves this body, remembering me, sa madbhavan, he reaches me, yati reaches, na asti atra samshaya, na asti, there is atra samshaya, there is no doubt. It is very clear that one who remembers me at death reaches me alone. And there is no doubt about it. That is very clear. And so we'll spend a little time talking about death. Because if you think about it, whatever thoughts I have, they stay with me constantly. Not only at death, but say think about in sleep. Like throughout the day, I have been thinking about some very stressful topic. And then I go to sleep. And in sleep, we have three stages, you know, waking, dream and deep sleep. Waking, dream and deep sleep. In waking and dream, the mind is very active. In the waking, the mind is active in the dream. But in the deep sleep, the mind becomes quiet. There are no thoughts. There is no... But then as soon as I wake up in the morning, what happens? My thoughts start again. My problems, whether it was a stressful situation or a happy situation. If I'm going to a party, then the thought of the party comes. If I'm going to a picnic, if I'm going to a funeral. So whatever the thoughts I have slept with, they stay with me. They don't go away. So that is, it is very clear that at the time of deep sleep, So they say that at the time of death also, as we have talked many times before, what happens as at death, those of us who believe in reincarnation, they say that the body gets left behind. Nothing happens to them. Now, the body doesn't go, obviously. The person doesn't dies. But they say after death, you go to heaven or hell. You know, the Bible says that. The Quran says that. All the Hindu Puranas and the Hindu scriptures say that. So when I say I go after death to heaven or hell, but my body is gone. So who is that I that goes that all the scriptures talk about? They say it's that individuality which we call as the jiva, or the individuality, which consists of the mind, the intellect, and the vasana, the desires. So I am a bundle of thoughts, emotions, and desires. That is me. The body is an instrument that I use to function in the world, and the body I leave. But the individuality, who is the bundle of desires, thoughts, and emotions, that individuality called the jiva then goes into higher worlds. You can call them heaven or hell, depending on your good and bad qualities. So that individuality then goes into heaven or hell based on their activities. They say a person who does good deeds enjoys heaven, a person who does bad deeds suffers in hell. And then having enjoyed or suffered those sins, then this individuality comes and takes up another body and then continues its journey. So what they say is that if you have this thought of the Lord at the time of death, you will reach him. But if you think I'm thinking about money or children, or then you will not reach that final destination. You will then have to keep coming back and keep taking birth. So they say one who reaches him is the one who thinks about them at the time of death. And you say, well, that is impossible. That is very hard. But think about it. Mahatma Gandhi, when he was shot, the last word that escaped from his mouth was, "Hey Ram." He said the Lord's name. Why? Because throughout his life, he was thinking about the Lord. He was working for the Lord. And they say that those who think about him, and how can I think about him? So they say that only way you can think about him is constantly think about him throughout your life. If throughout your life you only thought of money and power and position and all that, then at the time of death, that's what you will be thinking of. You will be thinking of money, power, position. You're not going to be thinking about the Lord. Like, for example, you know, in Hindus, what they do is, when a person is going to, they find he's on his deathbed or he's very sick. And so what they do is they either play shlokas from the Bhagavad Gita, or they chant the name of the Lord around him, or they will call priests to chant. And so, but a person who is thinking about money and he sees these four priests chanting the Bhagavad Gita and the name of the Lord, you know what he will think? These four priests must be costing a lot of money. You know, my children. So he's not thinking about the Lord. Even at that time, he's thinking about money. Or, you know, why do we need four? One would have been enough. So the thing is that whatever you have thought, even at the time of death, the person may be chanting the name of the Lord and all those things are going on, but your mind will remain only on worldly objects, will not stay on the Lord, because that is all you have been thinking throughout your life. There is actually a very beautiful story, which I shall tell you. It's a long story, but it's very nice. There was, as we know, in those who are not Hindus, we worship various forms of the Lord. We say there is only one God in heaven or everywhere. You can call it Brahman, but for the sake of us, he takes different forms. And we see three forms here. We have Mother Goddess, Lakshmi, Krishna, Saraswati. And then, you know, there are various forms, Shiva, Vishnu, and so on. And depending on whom you like, whom you love, you can pick. And they say as long as you worship any form of the Lord, whether it's Krishna or Shiva or Vishnu or Jesus or Allah or Buddha, it doesn't matter what you call God, but if you worship the Lord with love and devotion, you reach that infinite state. So it's not that there's only one God, is only one form of the Lord can take you to heaven and everybody else not. So in Hinduism, there is room for, you know, acceptance of all forms of the Lord. So anyway, so there was this couple who worshipped Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is one of the forms of the Lord. and he's always in meditation. So they were great devotees of God Shiva, Lord Shiva. But they had no child, and they prayed, and they, you know, they were very devout, very devoted couple, and they prayed to the Lord for a child. And it is said the Lord appeared before them. Lord Shiva appeared when they were sitting in prayer and meditation, and he said, "What do you want?" And they said, "We want a child." So the Lord says, "Okay, I'll bless you with a child, and he will be a handsome boy, but you have two choices. Either he will be very brilliant, he will be very bright and a great devotee of mine, but he will only live for 16 years. Or he will be an ordinary child like everybody else, and he will live a normal lifetime of 70, 80 years. So what do you want? A brilliant child who will only live 16 years, or an ordinary child who will live 70 or 80? They said, "We want a child who is brilliant and who loves you. We don't care if he only lives 16 years. And this reminds me of a very beautiful verse that my mother used to say, that what should you wish for? This is a very beautiful poem, and I'll chant the poem, and then what should a parents wish for in a child? So she says, "Janani jane to bhakt jane, ya data ya sur, nahi to janani banch bhali, kahe gawaye noor." So he says a mother should ask for three kinds of children, either of those three. Either it should be a bhakta, either he should be a devotee of the Lord. Devotee of the Lord. Janani jane to bhakt jane, ya data ya sur, ya he should be charitable, or should be brave, should be a warrior, brave. So the idea is that, or you can have all three, you know. So the idea is that when we have children, and these are the qualities we need to inculcate in them. We should inculcate in them devotion for the Lord. They should love Lord. And once they love him, once they are devoted, then other two come automatically. Automatically, a person who loves the Lord loves everybody, because he sees that these are all children of the Lord. So automatically his life is spent in service. And then he or she is also very brave. Brave does not mean that you go and crush others or you destroy others. Bravery means the ability to withstand the life's problems that come, because everybody has problems. Somebody, you know, sometimes your life is good, sometimes your life is bad. But the ability to withstand the problems and the ability to focus on a particular goal, and irrespective of the problems, I should have the strength to reach my goal. And this, the poem goes, "Ne to janani banch bhali," then better the woman does not have any children, because why? Kahe gawaye noor, she's wasting her youth in having the child and then bringing the child up. Unless you inculcate these qualities in your children, your having children is a waste. So do not have children unless you plan to. So that is the glory of this poem. So that is what those two people wanted. They said, "We want a child who is brave, who is intelligent, who loves you. We don't care if he only lives for 16 years. So they were blessed with a handsome young boy. They called him Markandeya. And he grew up. And by the time he was 11 or 12, then the parents started remembering that he's only going to be 16. And that was their only child. They were not even that old, maybe about 35 or 40. And he's going to be dying in 2-3 years. And so constantly they would see him and start crying. And so he was surprised. He said, "Why do my parents cry all the time?" Because they hadn't told him that you're only going to live 16 years. "Why do my parents cry? You know, every time they see me, they say, have I done anything wrong?" He went and asked them, "You know, how come I make you all cry, both of you?" They said, no, you haven't done." And finally they told him, they said that, "You know, you were blessed by God, but we only got you for 16 years. And on the 16th birthday, you will leave us." So he said, "Oh, no problem, don't worry about it." He was a great devotee of Lord Shiva. He prayed to him constantly, but also very brilliant. He had studied the scriptures. He knew had studied all the knowledge, you know, he was very bright. And so he was not afraid of death. So on his 16th birthday, from the morning he took a bath and he sat in front of, in India we have Shivaling, it is like a stone which represents Lord Shiva, which is like a black stone, oval. So he sat in front of the stone and just was chanting the name of the Lord. And at night, it is said that in India they personify God Death as a big you know, strong person who comes on a bull to take us at the time of death, it is, that's how they personify. So they said that this god death, they call him Yama, first sent his soldiers. He said, go bring him, it's 16 years, it's time for him to die. And when they came to take him, he was holding on to that stone statue with all his might. And they said, we can't touch him, you know, he's holding on to God's statue, we cannot take him. So they go back. So then the god of death, Yama himself, the king, he comes, he says, I can take him. And so he puts a noose, that's how they say that he puts a noose around you and grabs you and separates you from the body. It's a symbolic way. So the god of death put the noose around this Markandeya and tried to pull him. Now he was holding on to that stone statue. So he was not only pulling him, but pulling that stone, which where the god is supposed to reside. And so it is said Lord Shiva came out of that stone in anger, because he said, my devotee is being tortured and the one who remembers me. And it is said he killed god death. And so god death was destroyed, Yama was destroyed, and all the other gods were worried, you know, if there is no death, then it will be horrible, you know, children, people won't die, animals won't die, birds won't die, fish won't die, plants won't die, and the earth will be overpopulated. So they requested God Shiva, please don't, you know, kill him, bring him back to life. So Yama was brought back to life, the god of death. Now this boy who escaped death because he was holding on to the Lord's, you know, statue, it said that God gave him immortality, granted him and told him that you will live forever. Now immortality is very misunderstood. It is said that he became immortal and he lives even today. But immortality is very misunderstood, because we think of immortality as never leaving this body, living forever. Actually, it is torture. If you live forever in this body, it is horrible. Like say this man, he never dies, right? So his wife died, his children died, his friends died, his relatives died, his grandchildren died, his great-grandchildren died, and he's 250 years old and he's still alive, living with his great-great-great-grandchildren. His body is all wrinkled and he's lying down in one corner, never dies. That would be horrible, right? After 80, 90, you know, once your body gets old, you say it's better to leave and move on. So when they talk about immortality in our scriptures, the word immortality has two meanings. One is that Markandeya, this boy, became immortal because so many thousand years ago the story was, and we still remember that story and we are inspired by the glory of this young boy, even at age 16, who had so much knowledge that he was able to overcome death. So he is immortal. Even 100 years or 500 years from now, when somebody is talking about, you know, death, will remember Markandeya. So he became immortal. And same thing, think about Jesus. As long as there are Christians on this earth, Jesus is immortal. Even 2000 years ago he died, even another 5000 years from now, Christians will remember Jesus. Buddhists will remember Buddha. If there are Chinmaya mission centers like this, we will remember Swami Chinmayananda, our founder. So the idea is that one who becomes one with God becomes immortal, because people always remember him. But even if we don't become famous like Jesus or Buddha or Swami Chinmayananda, how can we become immortal remembering God? So they say that in reality we are immortal. All of us are a manifestation of that immortal reality. We have Brahman, we have the Lord, we have consciousness within us, and we are all an expression of that Lord. And every one of us has that immortal self, and that is our true nature. This body is only something I am temporarily occupying, which is changing. The mind, emotions, intellect, the desire, these are my equipment. I use my mind, I use my intelligence, I use my body. So these are my equipments that I use to function. In reality, I am immortal. That is what the Upanishads say. That is what the Gita says. And even Jesus said the same thing, that the Father in heaven and I are one. So all of these great masters have understood that they are immortal. Why? Because they are a manifestation of the reality. Just as A pot may think I am a pot. And when the pot breaks, the pot will cry, oh, I am broken, I am dying, I am dead. But if the pot says, I am mud, then whether the pot is broken or not, nothing happens to mud. The mud is permanent. So if the Lord, if the pot understands that I am not this pot, I am mud, then even if the pot is broken, the pot says, I am fine. So a wise person understands that I am that immortal self. And even when this body is changing, even when my emotions are changing, even when my thoughts and ideas are changing, I am the permanent self. And for such a person, death has no problem, because he or she can leave the body cheerfully, because he knows that I am not the body. The body wasn't a pair of clothes I wore. And if after I leave this body, if the Lord wishes me to come back and take another body and do his work, I am fine. So when we say that he made Markandeya immortal, it is that he gave him that right knowledge that you are immortal. And that is what we have to take from this story. That is what we have to take from this text of the Bhagavad Gita, that each and every one of us are immortal. We are all permanent. We are all a manifestation of that permanent reality. And when that happens, then A, that person does not get affected. Even if my body is getting old and getting sick, it's okay. That's the nature of the body. The body is meant. It's like my car. If my car is getting old, I don't start crying. I say, okay, you know, it's time for me. The car is giving me problems. It's time for me to get a new car. Or at the mental level, if I go through some stress and strain and problems, then a person does not get that affected. Why? Because he understands, yeah, the mind one day will be happy, one day will be unhappy. One day somebody will praise me, one day somebody will criticize me. But I am that permanent, immortal self. And that is what we practice in meditation. In meditation, that is exactly what we do, that we stay with that understanding that I am that reality. So that is what they say, that one who remembers me at the time of death reaches me. And how can I remember him? As I said, you have to start from now itself. You cannot think at the time of death, you know, I'll leave instructions, you know, when I'm dying, you should play the Bhagavad Gita, or you should play Psalms from the Bible, or you should be... No, you don't know. You may be dying somewhere in a car accident, or you may be anywhere. But if you start from now on remembering the Lord in all your activities, constantly remembering him, when you get up in the morning and you're lying in your bed, just chant the name of the Lord, you know, the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, or Om Namah Shivaya, or Shri Krishna Sharanam. Before you get out of bed, do not get out till you have chanted his name. And then throughout the day, before you leave your house, you know, bow and say, okay, Lord, I'm out now. I'm going to go out and do your work. Be with me. Remember, you know, do not leave me. Or let me not forget you. The Lord is always with us, but may I not forget you. That should be our prayer. And that's what all these great saints prayed for. That, oh Lord, may I never forget you. May I constantly remember you. And then when you see anything, you see the sunrise, the sunset, you see the moon, beautiful moon rising, you see the flowers blooming, you see a child smile, you see somebody doing a wonderful job, you know, we find so many examples of so many people doing wonderful activities. And constantly remember the Lord, constantly even when you are bathing, think about it, the clean, you know, beautiful clean water the Lord provides for 7 billion people. There are 7 billion people, everybody gets clean water, the plants, the birds, the animals, the fish, everybody is taken care of. So every breath I take is because of the Lord. So constantly try to remember him. When you are cooking, think I'm cooking for the Lord. You know, my children for whom I'm cooking has the Lord in them, or the guests who are coming to my house. A doctor seeing patients, or a pharmacist taking care of his customers, or anybody, you know, teacher teaching the students. Constantly remember the Lord and be thankful to him, be grateful to him. So as you remember the Lord, the more you remember him, the more you become like him, which is true. Like if you constantly think of basketball, what's going to happen? You'll become a great basketball player. You know, Edmund Hillary wanted to climb Everest. So constantly, day and night, he was thinking Everest, Everest, Everest. And he reached. He was the first man, you know, in 1953 to climb Everest. So they say that think about him constantly, then only you will remember him at the time of death, like Mahatma Gandhi. So, but if you only think about him once in a while, you know, 5 minutes in the morning, or only on Sunday morning from 10 to 11 or 11 to 12 when I go to church or when I come to Chinmaya Mission, then, you know, it's not going to work. So just as somebody whom you love, you think about them constantly, or a person starting a new business, how often does he think about the business? Does he think about the business only 11 to 12 Sunday morning, and the rest of the week I'm not going to think about you? No, every minute of the day, even in his sleep, he's thinking how to increase my sales, how to, you know, increase my productivity. Even in the dreams, he's dreaming about it. So that is what he says, that there is no doubt. If you think about me throughout your life, you will remember me. And once you remember me, then at the time of death, it will become very natural. For such a person to remember the Lord, it is very easy.
In fact, there was a very famous saint who composed a beautiful hymn called Mukundamala. And in that, it is available in the bookstore. It's a very beautiful devotional piece. And he said, "O Lord, let me constantly remember you throughout my day and throughout the night. And may I constantly chant your name." He says, why? Because they say at the time of death, you should remember the Lord. But at the time of death, I may be, you know, drowning in my secretions, bile and sweat, all this saliva, and I'll be choking, and I'll be in such a horrible state, and I'll be sick, and I may not remember you. I may not. So may I at least remember you throughout my life. He tells his tongue, keep on chanting the Lord's name. Why do you keep on talking, you know, nonsense and gossip and talking bad about people? Just remember the Lord. And so once you remember the Lord throughout your life, then you will, it is very easy to remember him at the time of death. And even if you don't remember him, at least I have remembered him in my waking time. So that is what the Lord is telling us, that one who remembers me throughout the life, then reaches me, becomes one with me. And that is what even Jesus, even when he was being, you know, tortured and persecuted, what did he say? Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Even at that time, he was full of love and devotion and compassion and mercy and was thinking about the Lord. He had no thought about his pain and about the nails in his hand and in his leg. He had just compassion and love. Why? Because these people become one with God. So that is what the Lord says. The one who remembers me throughout the life will remember me at death and will reach me. So every opportunity you have, try to remember him. Try to talk about him. Try to share this knowledge with him. Read, you know, good books, listen to good, you know, DVDs and, you know, good programs on the TV and everything, instead of listening to garbage and, you know, all this politics and all, you know, little bit you need to know, you know, what's happening in Iraq and Afghanistan and Republic. But instead of wasting too much time in this politics and economics and all this gossip and all, listen to the Lord's name, chant his name, have his tape in your car, so you can listen to the Lord's music. So that is what they say. Spend as much time as possible remembering me, the Lord says, then you will reach me. It's a very beautiful verse. Om sarve bhavantu sukhinam, sarve santu niramaya, sarve bhadrani pashyantu, akashchit dukham agami. Om Shanti, 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 Hari Om, Shri Guru Yama.